Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. As I said on Sunday, our liturgy provides markers for us as we move through the year. And this morning's frosty 8 a.m. service with the imposition of ashes is another one. And it's not without the celebration of love that Valentine's brings, because it says, remember where you came from with the rest of humanity, humanity that God created and loves and called good, taken in God's hands and molded from the dust of the earth before being called by name. Now, Ash Wednesday has gotten a bit of a bad rap, especially with readings like the one we heard from Joel this morning, and words that seem to echo like many of the Hebrew scriptures readings in our Bible study, that not much has changed in the world. The world can be a dark and overwhelming place. However, Ash Wednesday, as a marker for moving towards Easter and the celebration of the revelation of Christ risen from the dead, is really about hope and salvation in Christ as we follow Jesus into our own 40-day wilderness where we repent of our sins, that is, throw them down at the feet of Jesus, ask for forgiveness, and do our best to reject the things that tempt us away from God, just as we promised at our baptisms. Now, this morning's gospel reminds us that nothing God offers us can be taken from us by the things of the world, and encourages us to keep our fasting between us and God. Now, it's not about spending 40 days ashamed of who we are or lamenting the fact that we've had one more day without coffee and making everyone around us wish that we would just have a cup and shut up and sit down. It's also not about the doom and gloom of Joel's opening words. Instead, Joel preaches that there is hope. There is light even now. No matter what you're carrying, no matter what you might need to take some time away from or to reconcile, we just need to take some time to prepare for the celebration of Easter and reconcile any broken parts or any slightly rusty parts of our relationship with God, remembering that there is always hope. Joel says, yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping, with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Once again, God, merciful as always, invites us back into relationship with God's self. And Lent is one big reminder that God is always inviting us in every single day, every single one of us. God just says, come to me and bring your sorrow and anything you've done that's holding you down. Bring the shame that cripples you, because I'm kind and merciful. I am not like your human friends. I will not judge you in that way. I will always forgive. And then comes the question, do we want to be forgiven? Sometimes I really like to hold on to that shameful piece and be like, oh no. Do we want to be forgiven? Do we want to be free to take the opportunity to be part of big things? Do we want to consider our contributions to climate change? Or more locally, do we want to think about the hurts we've caused other people and try and put them right? Do we want to put down the pain and sorrow that we're carrying, because that will mean having to change. That will mean having to ask for forgiveness from those around us. Now, I know I want that freedom, but I admit I sometimes find it hard, especially with siblings. Always very difficult with siblings. But God says, stop worrying about your outward appearance. Stop worrying what people think. Give them the opportunity to surprise you. Pay attention to the things on your heart. So we ask ourselves today, what is on our heart? Now, sometimes people say that things, big things of the world, wars, climate, stake of politics, are the things that weigh them down. But also, I hear a lot about broken relationships in families. I have one of my own, estrangements, arguments that we can't remember the beginning of. We just know that it's the other person's fault. And then there are the things that we use to try and make ourselves feel better. As I've said before, it's easy to escape into television, and some of us are comfort eaters. When I have a problem or I'm hurt, I might find myself in front of a pot of Ben and Jerry's rather than in front of the altar asking for help, and it's easily done. So Lent is a time when we examine ourselves and say, okay, what's really on my heart? What do I want to acknowledge and offload? And God says, yes, come to me with that stuff. Give me that stuff. And give up what you currently try and use to soothe yourself. Come to me with fasting and prayer, and Jesus says, in secret, and get together and ask for help. So, when we think about the big things of the world that are less personal, are we praying for cooperation in the fight against climate change? Are we praying for refugees and world leaders? Are we allowing our prayers to shape our actions? After all, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Are we praying for the people that have hurt us? That's always a hard one. Asking God to help us reconcile, or asking God at least to help us forgive them if it's something that's not safe for us to reconcile and go back into relationship with them on this earth. The invitation is always there, but are we saying yes? That's the question of Ash Wednesday and the question for Lent. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent, and we physically mark ourselves with ashes to remember that we are committing to this time. We are intentionally fasting from what we know keeps us from God and the things that we use to make ourselves feel better instead of asking for help. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Jesus tells us today, don't let your fasting and prayer be about you. Let it be about God. So whatever you've decided to fast from, do it joyfully and freely. Choose something that you know you put in place of time with God, or something that you've been depending on instead of God. Some people that I know simply put their phones away. Literally, that's their thing that sucks all their time. People fast as a discipline to focus on God. So think of it as a practice, not a chore. Fasting is a way to love ourselves, because a practice brings us closer to God by stripping away the barriers to God. And fasting leads to prayer. When we feel a craving or a temptation for that Toblerone, the thing we've chosen to give up, whatever that might be for you, we can give thanks to God and pray that God will guide us through Lent, continuing to show us our way back into relationship with the Lord. We pray to return to God's two commandments on which hang all of the prophets. Love God with your whole heart, with your soul, and with your whole mind, and love your neighbors as yourselves. Simply put, to pray is to love God. Prayer leads to change, to action for those who are powerless, for the planet that needs us to act on its behalf, for the children in our lives who need to find hope in their futures. It changes the way we live our lives, because through it we are changed by God. As prayers are answered, we find our courage and we find our way to action. We find we're able to love our neighbors, even the people we disagree with, who are not like us, even people we don't like on occasion. So in a nutshell, Lent is about hope and salvation, and about loving God, ourselves, and others. The practices of prayer and fasting lead us into the freedom to give generously, and that's what they are. They are tools to help us love God, love ourselves, and love one another. God accepts that we will fall short along the way, but remembering that we are called to light a candle in the darkness and returning to the task each morning is the way we've chosen, because the one we follow into the wilderness of Lent is the light of the world, and our world needs that light and needs to know Jesus more than ever. Amen. Thank you.